Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us tonight to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. I want to read the first six verses of Romans 10. Not much time ever given to those verses. It's the ones after them that seem to be so rich, but I've found a treasure in these this week. And we desire your prayers. Romans chapter number 10. We'll begin at verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. I got to read the next ones. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, open our hearts to your word, and open your word to our hearts. Help us to receive it and to respond to it. We're trusting you for the power that is in it, that it might be administered to every soul, regardless of its condition, that we might receive the strength thereof and so be changed. We're trusting you for it, for we ask it in your name. Amen. You can read the ninth chapter of the book of Romans and find that the Apostle Paul had a great burden for his own countrymen. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he never forgot his own people. And he carried that burden, I believe, all the way to the end. He bore that burden because he, more than anyone else, understood what was going on. He knew that God had in part blinded Israel so that the Gentiles might come in. And he recognized and even wrote very clearly about it in the book of Romans concerning this particular situation. And yet he comes in chapter 10 and verse number 1 and he simply pours his heart out as he's writing to the Jews that are in Rome and to the Gentiles that are in Rome, the church there. And he says to them clearly, brethren, my heart's desire My prayer to God every day is that Israel might be saved. And I believe that came from a great love in his heart for his own people. I've said that to say this. That's not the heart of the message tonight, but it shouldn't go unsaid that we need a burden for our people. Regardless of which direction the Holy Spirit sends you, we should always bear in our heart the desire to pray for them that are in such a desperate need. It doesn't take a very intelligent or astute person to recognize that we're in a mess. I'm not talking what's going on in the cities. Right? We're in trouble here. The enemy is all around us. And his desire is to pull them away from God that can be. And for those that need to be with God, to keep them from him. And everything, it seems, just becomes heightened as we recognize that we're approaching what probably is the end of the day. Now, I don't know, and I'm certainly not a prophet and can't tell you when the Lord's going to come. But what I can tell you is there ain't anything keeping him from it. If there's ever been a time when he could step out on the clouds and call this thing to an end, he could quickly rapture the church and then start the whole process and close it out, and he would be 100% righteous and holy in doing that very thing. But brethren, my heart's desire for our people is that they be saved. And they're not saved yet. They need to be born again. They need to come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. I believe our heart's desire and prayer to God ought to be constantly for those that we love. They may not want you praying for them, but that don't make any difference. Pray for them. Be mindful of them and careful that someone is interceding in their behalf unto God and the Holy Spirit for them because they need to be saved. Well, there's a lot of them today that aren't saved because of the very thing the Apostle Paul wrote about his own countrymen. And I want to share that tonight. There's a correlation here. There's a close resemblance as we look at these next few verses at our own lost. Those people that we love and let me just be frank. There's a bunch of them come to church. And they're still lost. They've been hardened in the ear to the gospel, and what they need is a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit to break them and to show them their condition. Now, I'm not a judge, and I'll tell you right now, I thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus, that he didn't ask me to be a judge. But there are some things I know. And brother, if the word of God says it, you can stand on it. Amen. My heart's desire is that our people be saved. But there's a problem. I'll give them this. They've got a zeal for God, at least it seems like. But it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to truth. This world is filled with places like this. In this part of the country, they're on every corner. Called a church. A place where people gather and worship God and where the call for Christ goes out and it speaks to the sinner and the sinner comes. And I can only tell you what I've heard about. A day when people would assemble in the house of God and there would be lost people in it.
By their own confession, they'd be lost people in it. And when the call, the invitation was given for men to repent, they would come. And a moving of God. Buford Albright told me one time as we sat on a porch after lunch one day, he said, "Son, I wish you could have been with me 50 years ago." He said, "I wish you could have preached then and saw the moving hand of God as scores of people every service would come to Christ." He said, "Oh, if you could have preached then, you'd have seen it." But he said, "I fear we've entered a day when men don't fear God." And because there's no reverence for God and people don't see themselves as lost, there's no need to be saved. And so they don't come. They're not concerned. I wonder today how many of us have the burden as we ought for our lost people. Paul said concerning the children of Israel, he said, they have a zeal of God. He said, "I'll give you that." They run around following Moses' law as best they can and yet still failing in that. They go around following Moses' law. They have a zeal of God, he said, but it's not according to knowledge. They simply don't understand the truth. They've got the entire Old Testament, but they can't see Jesus in any of it. They refuse to recognize that the Lamb of God did come, that He did die, and that He did rise again and proved everything the prophets have said from the beginning until Matthew. He has already fulfilled all of those things. And here's what I'll tell you. They have a zeal of God, but they cannot see the truth. And we're living in a time when truth must be, it must be shared. It must be. Because if we do not share the truth, then the lies will never be addressed. It rubs people the wrong way, maybe, but bless God, if it brings them to their knees, so be it. I'm not looking for a popularity contest. Amen. I'm not looking for somebody to pat me on the back, but I am expected by God to preach what this says. And whether or not we like it or we don't like it, believe it or don't believe it, if the Word of God says it, it's true. And we need to line up with it and recognize that in the Word is the power to save men. And oh, how we need Him to save. We need God to move among us and to save our people. Paul said they don't understand. And oh, I can look into the blank eyes of so many as they stare at you on Sunday morning and they just don't know. And oh, I wish to God they knew. It's not about me figuring out a better way to compel them. I can't cry no more than I do. I can't beg or invite no more than we do. No, they're going to have to respond to the Holy Spirit. But oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. They won't get saved until the Holy Spirit is present. They won't get saved until the Word of God and its power is preached. Until it goes out and it finds that heart that is crippled by sin. And let me be clear, it has the power to save them today. Amen. It's not diminished in His power. I can't diminish the power of His holy Word. No, the danger is that I hide it. The danger is that I cover it up. I don't lift up the light as high as it ought to be. I can't stop the power of the Word of God, but I can keep it by not declaring it as God gives it. This, the children of Israel were guilty of. They'd heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. For thousands of years they had heard it. And yet when Jesus came, they had no idea who He was. They missed it.
I believe we've many today that are so hardened to the gospel, they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and yet they have never come to the realization that they need it. They somehow think, like the rest of the world, that is when you die, everybody goes to heaven. That's not true. And we don't need to coddle those ideas or go along with them. We need to eradicate the lie by being clear. When you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You will go to hell if you die without Jesus Christ. You cannot get to heaven until you have been converted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus was a religious man, and Jesus didn't coddle him. He didn't play around with it. He looked him in the eye and he said, "You're going to go to hell if you don't get born again." That's the first thing he said to him. Was, "You must be born again." Didn't even bother acknowledging that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews and that he was a smart man and that he knew the Septuagint. He knew the law of Moses. He had worked all of his life. He didn't regard any of that. He looked him in the eye and said, "You cannot inherit the kingdom of God until you're born again. You have to be saved." It's a simple gospel. It's a simple gospel. You have to be saved. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But," he said, "that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He said, "You cannot see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, until you're converted." Now, I'm not the one that can look into the heart and determine whether or not a soul has truly been converted. Right? I don't have that ability. Thank God I couldn't. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't bear the thought of being able to see into the hearts of those that truly are going to die lost without God. I couldn't bear it. But He knows. And we have people all around us often that have a form of godliness. But a form of godliness will not get you into heaven. You can quote from Genesis to Revelation and not miss a word and die lost without Jesus.
Amen.
There's theologians all across this land that are just as lost as they can be, teaching others the Word of God. The blind leading the blind. How in the world are we supposed to declare something that is spiritual if we're not spiritual ourselves? I'm not sure where God's going with this one exactly. I thought it was one direction, seemed to be going another now. But we need to recognize that there is a need in this land for truth. The only thing Jesus said will set you free is truth. And you know why truth sets you free? Because it breaks the chains of the lie. It breaks the very thing that binds you. It breaks the very work of Satan, the father of the lie, who controls so many by the lies that infest their heart and binds them as chains to this world. The only thing that can rescue them is the power of the Word of my God. That's the only thing can save them. We're begotten by the Word. We're kept by the Word. It is the Word of God that will rescue each and every one when it finds you and you see yourself in that condition, lost without God. May I say to you today, we have a responsibility to declare the truth. Now some think you can beat it into people's heads. It won't work. It won't work. If you cannot love someone while you're telling them the truth, you ought to keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Because you're going to do more harm than good. But I can tell you the truth and love you at the same time. You may not like it, and you may not think I'm being loving. But brother, if I warn you that if you keep going and you run off that bridge, brother, I did what was loving for you. We have a responsibility to do it in a way that, friend, is as best we can, administered by the Holy Spirit. But it does not alleviate the responsibility for us to tell people if they keep on, they're going to hell. The truth is the only thing that will dispel the lie. My brethren, he said, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, he said that they might be saved. So I'll give them this. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They don't understand. They don't understand the very thing that they need, which is the righteousness of God, which he speaks of in the third verse. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. May I say to you today that God's righteousness is different than what people think. See, that's the problem. God bless your heart. When God says he is righteous, here's what I want you to know. He is absolutely 100% perfect and holy in every way. And that is the expectation for you. They are ignorant of God's righteousness. You say, how so? Because if they were acknowledging, if they were truthful, if they understood the righteousness of God, then they could not in a clear conscience go about trying to establish their own righteousness by simply doing good works. Here's what the people of Israel thought. They didn't understand the righteousness of God, and therefore they went about trying to establish their own righteousness by keeping in an inept effort the law of Moses. Did any one of them ever keep the law of Moses fully? No, they did not. Not one, not ever. And yet they established their own standards. Whoever can be the closest to the law of Moses, that's the best one. And the rest of us try to get to that place. May I say to you today, the standard is not you. The standard is not me. The standard is the perfect one, the holy one. No sin goes into heaven. None. Let me be clear. Even if you were able... Hear me. Even if you were able from this day to the last day of your life to be absolutely, perfectly, 100% sinless, you still have a problem. What about yesterday? What about yesterday? You're a sinner and you're in desperate need of a Savior because you were born unrighteous.
Right. Amen.
From the day you were conceived, your soul bore the nature of its predecessor. You can't help it. You were born a human and therefore have a human's nature. You received the Adam nature. You cannot go to heaven until the Adam nature has been dealt with. And that requires you be born again of the Spirit. The flesh won't do. You've already been that way. The flesh is wicked by nature. You cannot in your own attempt make it righteous. They were ignorant of this truth. Say, oh, so sad for Israel. So sad for Israel. That's where we're at. In America today, everything, everyone thinks they're going to heaven. You know why? Because they have gone about to establish their own righteousness all the while being ignorant of the righteousness of God. If we ever once could admit that God was 100 absolutely perfect in every way, and what the expectation for me is to also be perfect, let me tell you something, nothing but perfect will go to heaven. Nothing, nothing, nothing will go to heaven but that which is sinless. Only that is righteous. Or else you have changed the definition of righteous by your own admission. Righteous is holy. And as long as I'm in the flesh, I will have a problem with holy.
Right.
because my flesh was born with the nature of my father and his father and his father all the way back to Adam. And we were born of human. We were born with the human's nature. And as Adam received the curse of God, so do we all. Ignorant of the righteousness of God. You could question people today and ask them if they're a sinner. And they struggle with giving you an honest answer. Because immediately they go to trying to compare themselves to someone in their mind they think is good. Let me be clear about what the Bible says about anybody in this world. There is none in this world that are good. If your example today is anything other than the holy perfectness of Jesus Christ Himself, you do not understand righteousness. You're ignorant of righteousness, God's righteousness. Paul said, I'll give them this. They have a zeal of God. They run around talking about Him but don't know Him. They run around claiming to be His, right? They all claim to be children of God. But you know what Paul said to them in the book of Romans? He said, not everybody's of Israel is a Jew. He said, because being a Jew, he said, ain't about one's nationality. It's about one's heart. Amen. It's about one's heart. He said he called Abram. Abram wasn't a Jew. Right. He called him because of his heart. He said the circumcision is not that which is on the fleshly side. It's that which is on the spiritual. They're ignorant of it. They're ignorant. They think as long as they're circumcised in their flesh, they're the children of God. Therefore, the Jews are the rightful heirs to the kingdom of God. And yet, all the while, they miss Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Didn't know Him when He came. They were ignorant to knowledge. They were ignorant to this truth. And they missed Christ altogether. What the apostle said clearly was their problem was twofold. He said their problem ultimately is that they cannot submit themselves unto the righteousness of God because, number one, they don't understand the righteousness of God. And I say today, we've a bunch among us that don't understand the righteousness of God. They think they're going to heaven, but it is based on faulty information. They have not been converted. They have not been born again. They have never received Christ as their personal Savior. And yet because they have joined up, because they have been baptized, because they have come to church, because they have given a little of this, but they have established their own righteousness, all the while ignorant of what righteousness truly is. How hard is it to understand that righteousness means right? You know how much wrong right includes? God's righteousness is absolutely 100% perfect. And that America is ignorant of. They're ignorant of the requirement to get into heaven. Look at verse number 5 if you got your Bible still open. He said Moses described it. That is the righteousness of the law. Moses said, yeah, do all of it and you shall live. Fair enough. How many can do all of it? Not one. Not one. It's not that the righteousness of the law was, or that the law was wrong. No, it was right. Moses said, hey, if you can do it, you'll live. But that's the rub. Because you can't do it. You cannot do it. You're ignorant to this truth. It requires, listen, when we go to heaven, there is a reason that this is left behind. He didn't say this. Because this, nothing will get into heaven except that which is perfect. Nothing. That is the righteousness of God. You say then, preacher, how are you going to get there? I'm glad you asked.
Amen. Amen.
Because there was a glorious day.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit convicted me and I saw I was a sinner.
Amen.
And couldn't get away from it. And then He offered me the opportunity to be perfect. And that day, weeping, I fell before the Redeemer and said, Lord, save me. And that instant, there was something imputed and imparted, taken from the one who is righteous, and as a gift given to me. That instant when I was born of the Spirit of God, that instant imputed to my new soul was the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What's in me is perfect. Perfect. Say, how do you know? Because nothing that is imperfect will go in.
Amen.
That's why, Alfred, you must be born again. You have to be converted of the Spirit, Bruce.
Yep.
You can't just nod your head to the preacher and say, now baptize me.
Right.
I can do that and won't know the difference. You can fool me. But you can't fool God. You can live the rest of your life ignorant to the fact that God is righteous and what He requires is righteous. But you must be born again to ever be righteous yourself. I'm going to heaven today because Jesus Christ imputed righteousness to me. My old self, according to the Word of God, was already dead in its trespasses and sin. Now I'm going to talk about my old heart, my old soul, already condemned, already dead in my sin. That's where America's at today. But they all think they're going to heaven. You know what that is? I'll grant them. They fill up big churches all over this country. They pack them in everywhere. And even while those preachers in front of thousands of people are telling them the exact same thing I'm telling you. And they sit there. Staring at them. Lost with no idea what he's talking about. And if you ask them, are they going to heaven? They'll say, yes. How are they going to get there? They truly don't understand. It's the same situation. We in America are in the same situation the Apostle Paul was in right then. He said, I'll give you this. They have a zeal of God. They're running around claiming to be good and all this.
He said, but it's not according to truth. It's not according to knowledge. They don't truly understand God's righteousness. If they did understand God's righteousness, they'd fall on their knees and beg for mercy. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. None. None. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ did something in me. The part that is going to heaven is not the flesh. If you live long enough, you'll see me out there. Right? You'll watch them as they tote that box and put it in the ground and cover it up. You will see this dead if you live long enough and he don't come first. But thank God this ain't what's going to heaven. What's going to heaven is that part that is on the inside, to whom the apostles Paul said became a new creature in Christ Jesus. New. And that new creature is righteous. Righteous on the inside. Righteous not because I'm good, not because I keep the commandment, not because of anything. All because Jesus is righteous is the reason I am righteous inside. Say, preacher, time out, can't be that way. Then you tell me how you're getting into heaven if you're not perfect. How are you going to get there? What I'm saying to you is you don't understand God's righteousness. You won't get there on your own. Say, preacher, I still sin. That's the nature of this thing we live in. You'll fight that battle till the day you die. You'll constantly be trying to bring under subjection the flesh. And you'll finally get to lay it down. But bless God, when you lay this down, that's going to set free the man on the inside.
Amen.
And he going home.
Yeah.
Because he has been made righteous through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is a hard concept for people. Because the devil has spawned a lie in the hearts of so many that they think it's about doing it and pulling it and getting it and all of it. And none of that can get you to heaven. None of it. We live in a country where they're ignorant of God's righteousness. Right? They think any old thing will do as long as I'm doing it, as long as I'm right in my heart, right? As long as it feels good, as long as I think it. Not so. God's righteousness is absolutely 100% perfect. And let me be clear, you will not get to that through keeping the law. Why? Say it. You can't keep it. Don't you look me in the eye and tell me you can keep it. You lie. You can't keep it. Nobody can keep it. Nobody can get to the righteousness required of God. Nobody. If it had been any other way, here's what I can absolutely assure you would have never happened. Jesus would not have suffered. If there was any other way, he would not have sent his son to be tortured for you. If there was any other way. But he did. Because the righteousness of God requires absolute perfection. And the only way to make you and you absolutely perfect is for you to die to sin and him to take the righteousness of Christ and give it to you. Free. And according to the scripture, he washes us as white as snow. Alfred, he said, as white as wool. And then according to the scripture, he seals us until the day of redemption. You can thank God for that too. The work he does at the moment of your conversion, the very instant that you are perfectly given, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit seals the whole deal. Because when you die, only perfect goes to heaven. And only what's inside of you, if you're born again, is what goes to heaven. And so we have two different righteousnesses. We have the righteousness by law. Come get a song. I'm almost done. We have the righteousness by law, in which, in verse number 4, I believe it is. Anybody got your Bible open? Verse number 4? I believe I remember it this way. Correct me if I'm wrong. He says, for the end of righteousness by the law is when Christ came. Who's got it? You got it, Sam? Read it.
Is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.
Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. Before that, it was that, right? Before Christ, it was by the law that one obtained righteousness. And yet what Paul said was, is that all changed. When Jesus died and rose again, that ended the law for righteousness for them that believe. You say, preacher, I don't get it. Make it simpler. Okay? I'm going to make it simpler for you. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you are converted by the Spirit of God, born again, at that instant, there is no longer a law that requires you to be righteous. Because the righteousness has been satisfied by you being given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We probably all ought to be shouting right now that everything about me going to heaven is because He did all the work. To everyone that believes, it ends the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of it. To everyone that believes. I told you there were two righteousnesses. That was the first, the law of righteousness. But then there's the righteousness by faith. Still got your Bible open? Read verse number 10. Read the first half of verse number 10.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
Stop right there. Stop right there. You get it? How do you get righteous? Is it by the law? For with the heart man believeth unto what? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The rest of my life, thank you, Jesus. That all I had to do to become righteous, as righteous, hear me, as Christ, was to believe. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made, I've been saved. I've been saved. I've been saved. I've been saved. How could the mouth not confess such a thing? I've been born again. I've been born again. People, we're living in a time when people are believing a lie. They're so ignorant to gospel truth, they don't know it when they hear it. And it's up to me and you to share it. The apostle wrote, he said, if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And that means if it's being hid, guess who's hiding it? The ones that know it. What we know is a simple truth, and we don't share it. That unless you're born again, you're going to die pitifully lost and dwell eternally in the torments of that flaming pit, alone in the darkness, while the flames continuously torture your undying soul, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, where a man will die and never die, and the flames of that place will never cease. And they drop into it. According to the prophet, the Bible said hell enlarges itself every day to receive those. Just gets bigger. I'm going to heaven. But let me be absolutely clear. I am going only because of Jesus Christ. I am forever indebted. Help me with me. I am forever indebted to you, Jesus. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to you. I am forever indebted. I'm going to heaven because you miraculously, by your Spirit, made me a new creature, made me righteous as you are righteous. And I am grateful. Oh, they got a zeal of God, Bruce. But they're still lost. Does that bother you? Makes me wonder why I ain't done a better job. They sit with us, folks. They may be here tonight, but I know on Sunday there's a bunch of folks sitting with us. They don't know Him, Sam. They don't know Him. And I'm pretty sure they hear it. I'm pretty sure they hear the truth. But they got a zeal of God. But they're not saved. They're ignorant to the fact that God requires perfect righteousness. And they somehow think they are. It's all across this land. It's infected with this virus. That's what's killing people. Is the lie that the enemy has sown. Do you know you're saved tonight? Do you absolutely 100% know that you're born again? That don't have anything to do with their being baptized or your name on the roll of this church. You better absolutely be certain that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life yonder in heaven. You better be sure that you are perfect on the inside. Because if you're not, you're going to hell. You die without God, you're going to hell. With all the love that I can share this with you, I don't want you to go to hell. I'm telling you this truth because I don't want you to go to that awful place. Don't go. You can be made new right now. Right now. He can make you a new creature. If you'll run to Jesus, He'll save you. He'll put His righteousness in you. And then don't matter when death comes, you'll cross a shouting. Because you're His, then you're His. You better know. You better know. As we stand to sing, if you need Jesus tonight, why don't you come?